strictly in the house of the Lord. Scripture says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst. So the thing that we really want to have him shout about is the Lord Jesus is here this morning. He's so strong this morning that he's already looked down through the ages and say, you see that guy right there? He's one of mine. And so all of a sudden, when you look down through the ages and say, he's one of mine, and then he says, go get one of my guys to talk to. And so on this morning, God gave one of his guys, Jim, to go talk to one of his guys, Robert, and Robert received the Lord this morning.
Amen.
God kind of works things out. It's just his timing. When you can't see his hand, you know it's still right there, very, very long. And we're going to look at the final in the series this morning. We've been talking about changing our community. And the real question is, am I really ready to do this? You know what I mean? I mean, we can talk about it, but am I ready to do this? Let me kind of give you the background. In Luke chapter 10, and I'll pick it up just for verse 25, just to kind of get started here. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds and poured oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. He said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Well, he was told to go and do likewise and put all these pieces together. Now, in order to get these pieces together, sometimes you've got to put faces on them. I mean, what's happened in your world this week? If I gave each one of you an opportunity, I dare say you could give me faces. I got to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, I got all this right now. I got more than I can preach in 2 hours. And I need some faces. And so he says, okay. You remember the guy this week that his business is going good? Remember you had to lock him down? He said, when you get to talking to this guy, because he's still out there, and he's been talking to him. Then I got him. Then all of a sudden, when I was sitting there in the office, they called me to the front desk and said, this girl's up here. She had a problem with her credit card, and she had all of her money, and she wanted her money. So I went to the front office, and I said, okay, what's the problem? And she told me what the problem was, and in our credit card world, if you put your credit card in at the pump, it pre-authorizes. And it might hold $75 on your credit card. It doesn't take it, but it holds it. And she put her card in there. She put a hold on her money. She swapped pumps because she was on the wrong side of the car. And when she put her card in again, it declined it because she didn't have enough money in there. And so she says, I don't have money. And I'm hungry. So I said, this is another case. So in that case, I said, look, I'm going to do something for you to make what you want. I'm not going to do anybody. I gave her some money to eat. Oh, she said, I'll pay you back. Now, when I give people money to eat like that, you know how much I expect to get back?
No.
That's what I expect. I said, okay, just leave one day. And so all of a sudden, she came out one day and I wasn't there. And so she called and said, you're going to be here. She brought that money back and she wanted to give it to me face to face. Man. God says, you're the best. And then I got a call the other night from a guy that had asked for something, a little help, and he says, my mother's got cancer. And he's found out that I got cancer. And he loaned me $20. Now, I don't know what the facts are, okay? I really don't. I don't know what the facts are. I said, okay, I'll help. Inside of me, it wasn't pleasure for me. Because I'd seen that picture before. But God said to me, it's a piece out of you. I said, what for? Now, faces. What kind of faces did you see this week? And this changed me. Did you do? You know, this one. So what we're talking about here is stuff that this is real life stuff that's happening around you every day. If you did a journal, every one of you would have had similar experiences. Maybe not the same. Everybody in here has a story. You really do. You've got a story. And so when you begin to look at that line, and God says to you, okay, it's time for you to jiggle the line. Y'all want to jiggle the line then? Listen, let me tell it to you again. So you can remember it for the first time. I watch movies again for the first time. I don't know about y'all. My wife said, you've seen that thing three times before. I'm sitting there. I watched it again. But anyhow, but you know, let me tell you, the story that this guy, and this is a true story, that he went out, and the way that he touches people is he's got five people. Then he goes by and sees every week. And what he says he just throws his line out there and it just kind of jiggles. You know, y'all jiggling. Y'all fishing. Y'all just jiggling. Nothing may happen. One day, all of a sudden, that fish will bam. You said the fish. Y'all jiggling the line. Who are you jiggling the line on? And all of a sudden, you come to your mind, well, I'm not. So you got to listen. Throw your line out there. Throw it out there. Just jiggle it. Because one of two things is happening out there. When you throw your line out there and you jiggle it, you're going to come up with two faces, two groups of people. One group of people is on his side. His side means the Lord Jesus' side. On his side, what he says, I was hungry. And you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was strange and you kicked me in. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me. And all of a sudden, the guy said to Jesus, said, Jesus, when did we see you do this? We didn't see it. But Jesus said this. He said, when you've done it unto the least of one of these, my children, you've done it unto me. You see, when you're out there fishing, when you're out there jiggling, it may be one of his. Let me give you another story, though, that goes along with this. When you're out there fishing, it may not be one of his. And over in Ezekiel, it talks about that, look, if there's a wicked man out there, let me give you that text. See if I can give you it. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. The other verse was Matthew 25, 37, 40. But in Ezekiel 3:18-19 said, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to or warn the wicked with his of his wicked way. To save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he did not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but ye have delivered your soul. Catch it now. Wicked man out there. Throw your line out there. Keep it. And he takes it. Oh, good. But if that wicked man says, no, says, when you stand before the Lord, you get washed again. But if you don't even give a line, you don't even tell me, you don't even go fishing, I'm going to hold you down. So what's happening? If it's one of his, we need to jiggle a line. If it's one of Satan's, we need to jiggle a line. And now, here's the question. In the day, here's the question. How do you know the difference? And the answer is, why? So that's what we've been talking about. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this. And so week one, we said, do I really love my neighbor? Do I really love my neighbor? In other words, if you think along, neighbors don't let neighbors go to hell. Okay? They don't. Do I really love my neighbor? Because we talked 3 weeks ago about in the neighborhood, there needs to be a destiny. Because your neighbor has a destiny. It's either heaven or hell. It's one of the two. And when you say that, you realize, I want my neighbor to go to heaven. Oh, yeah. I like that one, yeah. And then all of a sudden, we started looking at who was my neighbor. And when we started looking at who was my neighbor, then I discovered that I'm a change agent. When I go to the neighborhood, when I move into the neighborhood, I don't move in there in the neighborhood to be silent.
God doesn't need any more secret agents. He's got plenty of those. What he needs some James Bonds to get out there, make things happen. So looking at this, I'm a change agent. And you know, it comes up really 5 questions. Did y'all hear those 5 questions that we read about a little while ago? 5 questions. First question was, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Man, this is a young guy. He was a seeker. And he really wanted to know, what do I do? And so if you kind of put in your mind John 3:18, it said, he that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there was a seeker right there. Hey, believe on Jesus. And then Jesus asked him, well, what is written in the law? You know what the law is? All they had was the Old Testament. What's written in the book? So what you see right there is you go to the source. He wants to know eternal life. Jesus said this is where the source of eternal life is. You go to the book. In fact, if you read in John 5:39, the scripture says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. So when you go to the source, all of a sudden, Old Testament, New Testament, you begin to say, hey, this is good. It's all, what did the song say? It's all about you, Jesus. That's what he was writing in here. And then the third question, he came up and he asked him, he says, well, what is your reading of it? Okay, some people say, well, I want to know Jesus. I want to go to heaven. What have you done about it? I ain't done nothing about it. Now wait a minute. You want to go? You want an inheritance forever? You want to go to the good place? You don't want to go to the bad place? What have you done about it? Nothing. You're on a course. That's what most people are doing. You're on the Broadway. You're on a course. So what this rich guy did, he said, I searched the scripture. That was the source. And he said, what do you understand? Ooh. When you read it, you'll know enough to know the good stuff. What do you understand about that? That's what he was telling us. Because you see, the Word is very open right there. When you start searching, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Okay. All right. I'm going for it. I'm diving in. I'm picking it up. I got the source. I understand enough to get into the kingdom of God. I do understand that. But I want to be sure about this thing. I want to justify myself. So do you remember? Here's the fourth question that was asked. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And so when you asked that question right there, we had to deal with that question. Who is my neighbor? You know what? Sometimes we struggle with that. Who's my neighbor? But are you ready to do something about it? Well, he told that story about the good Samaritan. But I want to flip over to, in Matthew 28:19-20, the scripture says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Well, where does he want us to do? He wants us to go to all nations. Whether they're one of his or whether they're one of the other guys. He wants us to go and he wants us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And to teach him all things whatsoever I've said to you. Hey, who is my neighbor? Well, are we really ready for this? Are we really ready? Because you got to make a selection. The last question said, which of these three do you think was neighbor? Now, it's talking about the Good Samaritan, what I read about. Which of these three guys, the Levite, the priest, man, they were turkeys. But then this Samaritan, this guy, he was the real deal. The unexpected real deal. Was he ready for it? Yeah. So what you're looking at right there, in James 2:19-20, the scripture says, you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But you do not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You see, if you don't put shoes on it, it's nothing. Faith without works is dead. So what does he want us to be? He wants us to be a change agent. And being a change agent, we want to share the good news. We want to show mercy. We want to do our neighbor no harm. We want to excite our neighbor and be agreeable and edify them. We want to back them up. We don't want to tear them down. We want to speak truth. We want to keep the royal law. So that leads us up to week three. You say, we finally got there. Week three, this is where we are today. But are you ready for it? I don't know that we're ready for it. Are we really ready for it? What if it happened? What is this that we're talking about? If God really brought everything you've been praying about and it started happening, would you be ready for it? Video number two, Larry. Would you be ready for it happening around you? Background, facing the giants.
Grant, are you not aware of what's going on outside on the field?
What?
You might want to come check this out. Mitch decided to bring his Bible class outside today. After he started teaching, Matt Prater stood up and accepted Christ as his Lord. It was awesome. He started confessing stuff from his life. He started asking his friends for forgiveness. Next thing we know, Bob Duke stands up and does the same thing. Kids start breaking up into groups. They begin to pray for each other. They begin to ask forgiveness for sins that they committed. This has been going on for 3 hours. How did you not know what was going on? Keep up on me.
I'm proud of you, man.
I need to talk with my dad. I'd like to go see him.
I'll take you right now.
Never give up. Do you hear it? Are you ready for it? So how does all this thing begin to happen? There's three levels of love. First of all is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Then there's the second level of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Third level of love, love yourself. And when you begin to think about level one, loving the Lord, what does all that mean? Love the Lord with all your heart. The heart is the center of my thoughts and my feelings. Where did I come from? What do I think about? Do we love God that way? Well, let's put it like this. Yesterday. Let's go back to Friday. Can y'all remember Friday? That's not too far away. Did you schedule time with God on Friday? Just give you a moment to think about that. Did you schedule time on Friday? Oh, Thursday. Wednesday? Tuesday? What about Monday? Sunday? Oh yeah, I did Sunday. I went to church Sunday. I scheduled. Wait a minute. Scheduling time. You know, scheduling time with God is something very unique there. Scheduling time means you need to have a place. Schedule a time. Many times, if you don't schedule God in, where's He going to fit in? Then schedule a place. A place. Oh yeah, I'm going to meet the Lord today. I got an appointment. Schedule a purpose. My purpose is just to talk, or my purpose is just to listen, or my purpose is just to get in there and sing for a few minutes, or my purpose is to read God's Word and just allow it to speak to me. So schedule time, schedule place, schedule a purpose, and then keep the schedule. Now, when this happens, all of a sudden you realize that I love the Lord with all my heart, the center of my thoughts and my feelings. Then I love the Lord with my soul. Now, the center of my spirit and body in concert produces vitality, which is rational and immortal. What are you talking about? Who am I? Excuse me. Who am I? What is the real me? You remember that time that you scheduled in? What did I learn from Him in my scheduled time? Oh, you mean the center of my body is in concert? Now this vitality that I have, where did it come from? This energy that I didn't know I had, it came from that appointment. You got pumped up. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see that this enthusiasm, this energy, this quality of excitement that I didn't know even existed came out of nowhere. No, it came out of somewhere. You schedule a time, you schedule a place, you schedule a purpose, and you met it. And then now this energy, and then all of a sudden your strength comes along. He says that the strength, give the Lord all my strength, the center of my force producing ability, might, power, and strength. What? Where is it coming from? Where's that internal fortitude? Where's the ability to talk to that person? Where's the ability to love that person that's unlovable? Where's the ability to be kind to people who aren't kind to you? Where's the ability to love somebody that's loveless? Where's that ability? Where's that strength going to come? Because I can tell you, folks, it doesn't happen naturally. But if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, all of a sudden now my thoughts and my feelings are being captured. My soul, the vitality of my body is now being focused. And my strength, it's being renewed. There's force. There's ability. There's might. I begin to say, I know what my purpose is. So what I learned in my schedule appointment affects my vitality. And that does my actions. It applies to changing of a neighborhood. But then last he says, do you love the Lord with all your mind? Your mind is the deep center of thought. It produces a disposition. It produces imagination. It produces understanding. What am I here for? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about it? Why did God bring me to this job? Why did God lead me to this church? Why did God put me in this relationship? Why did God... I want to know why. Much of understanding why comes from the deep thoughts. Where's that deep thought came from? You remember that scheduled time that you had? Yeah. That purpose, all of a sudden, now you're starting to think about stuff that'll really change your life. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you think in your heart? Boy, I've got these x-ray visions. She thinks she's the best mother that's ever walked on 2 feet. Oh, I saw it. I saw it. As a man thinks in his heart, he thinks he's the best fisherman that's ever picked up a pole. I know it. I saw it. He thinks he's the coolest guy. Yeah, he's cool. I saw it. So did you. She thinks I'm not worthy for anything. Who? Where'd you get that from? She thinks she could never be in a relationship with a man. Where'd you get that from? He thinks I'll never be a Christian. Where'd you get that from? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Oh, where'd this come from? See, you need to go back to that time that you set up with God. Allow your heart, allow your soul, allow your strength and your mind. Then you start thinking the thoughts that He puts in there, not that somebody else puts in there. What fills your... I like this. What floats your boat? What fills your ram? What jerks your chain? What is it? What is it? Maybe I'll tell you a story, and we may even draw it down here. Really, what is this? There's a story that's told about Jesus said that this guy was a farmer. He went out and he sowed some seed, and some of this seed fell on some hard ground, and some fell by the wayside. Some fell and started growing that was in the thorns and the thistles. And some of it started growing up. Man, it started producing 20, 40, 60. I mean, it was out of sight. It was awesome. But then they asked him, oh, Jesus, what does all this mean? And so Jesus began to break it down. This is found in Luke 8, 11 through 15. He says, now the parable of the seed is the word of God. Now, the Word of God means, what did you learn in your scheduled time? Got it? You with me? That's the Word. You schedule a time, a place, with a purpose, and you met your schedule, and now inside of this, you've learned something in that scheduled time. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, the devil comes, takes away the word of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, what happens now, you had that quiet time, but in your quiet time, you allow Satan to kind of brush things off. Now, in other words, Satan led you to brush it as insignificant. God said to love that ugly jerk that lives next door to me, I can't do that. Just brush it off. If I can't do that, just forget it. Where'd that come from? Brush it off. I can't love. I cannot keep a good attitude in work, working next to him. Satan just says, brush it off. And then the third thing that happens, but then the ones on the rock, those who, when they hear, receive the word of joy and have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation they fall away. Do y'all know anybody stressed out? Yeah. In other words, you got it. You said, I can do this. You were excited until you got to work and the first words that came out of that guy's mouth, boom, busted. You knew it was right. You knew you could do it. Stress got to you. I can't do this. Boom, it's all over with. You remember what you heard in that quiet time? You remember? It's terrible. When all of a sudden, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, just plain old deception. I don't know where yours is. But it's there. And what Satan wants to do, he wants to take what you learned this morning in your quiet time, and he just wants to choke it out. I used to talk with young people, and they said, one of the problems with us coming to some of the youth events, they said, on any weekend, we have three places to go, and we've got to choose one of them. That's the young people. You know what? I'm finding out adults are not quite that far away. If you're like my son, it's dove season, bow season, gun season, turkey season, crappie season, bow hunting, fish season. I'm already back at deer season. I ain't got time for God. I'm not saying he doesn't. But some people could say, I ain't got time for this. And all of a sudden, what you learned that morning got choked out. And then he said, though, the last thing he said right here, he said, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with patience. That's what happened. You read it, you heard it, you felt it. Now it's giving you energy. Now you're thinking about it. Now it's creating a new disposition in your life. Whoa! Man, you know what? This thing called Christianity is not all that bad. But you got to get in, you got to dig, and you got to come to grips with it. Am I really ready to do this? So, I know that we're not finishing out all the notes this time. But I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready to do this? Am I ready to do what? Am I ready to give God first place? Am I ready to love my neighbor? Am I ready to love myself? Am I ready to fish for some of His fish? Am I ready to fish for some of Satan's fish? Am I ready to have a good attitude with my wife, with my neighbor, with my work? So am I ready to say, God, I'm scheduling You a time in the morning? And are you ready to go in there with a time, with a place, with a purpose, and keep that schedule? And then after you keep that schedule, whatever He begins to talk about, are you ready to have that mind of feelings, that heart of compassion, that soul of vitality? Wow, my ability, I've been renewed. Now I can face another day. I can get it done. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Love your neighbor as yourself. Where did it all start? It all started at the foot of the cross. It all started with Jesus. Am I ready to love Jesus this morning? Let's pray. Father, as we come before You today, we come with joy and hope in our hearts and in our minds. And God, I'm ready. I'm ready. And I know that there's some other people who are ready right in here. So now we're going to begin to change our neighborhood. Yeah, Lord, we're not going to give up on You. And we're going to start protecting that time that we schedule with You, and we're going to start holding to the right stuff. We believe it'll make a difference. God, many of us are ready. Some, Lord, they're in the balance right now. They don't know whether they buy into this or not. Spirit, You're the only one that can talk to them. So I'm asking You to talk to them this morning. Let us buy in, Lord, with our mind, with our heart, with our soul, with all of our strength. Let us really love ourselves enough to love God and then show it by loving our neighbor. Oh, please, God. Help us be ready. We're not going to give up. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's a time of commitment all about? Kind of a moment of fresh air. It's kind of a moment of saying, you know, I do have a choice. I can let Satan just kind of say, you don't need this. Or I can jump in it, and if it don't work out, I'll bail out. Or I can do it as long until other stuff come along. Or else I can throw the parachute out of the plane. And say, if the plane's going down, I'm going down with it. That's trust. Let God be your co-pilot. Let God be your pilot. And if that plane goes down, you go down with Him. And I can tell you, if you go down, you go up. That's good, isn't it? Some people are looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you? Are you ready to be that neighbor that God wants you to be? I think you are. I think you are. If you want to do like Robert and give your heart to Jesus today, we want you to do that. Jim's ready to talk to you. He's right there. He's biting at the bits. You want to receive the Lord Jesus this morning, just come down here and I'm just going to point you at that guy. Say, do it again, Jim. Do it again. Some might say, you know what? I really want to kick off in the morning. I want to set a time now. I don't want somebody else. I just want to tell God about it. You go to the prayer hall and say, okay, God, this is it. This is it. I'm ready. Well, the prayer altar is open too. What's your need? What's God asking you to do today? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.